this morning, and before we begin, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. For some reason, I've had a condition return on me, and so I'll need help this morning in getting through it and not coughing and not losing my voice. So, you know, the Bible says that when we are weak, then is He made strong. So we'll just depend on Him. Father, we thank You that You've let us come this morning. Lord, our heart is rejoicing in what we've learned this week. But now, Father, we need You. I pray that You would calm the cough, calm the hoarseness, and give me voice. Not so that I can say anything, for I know nothing, Lord, but that You could speak through me. Just make me a vessel of honor to be used of You. And may Your children this morning rejoice in You from what we hear, grow in You from what we learn, and praise You for all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the book of Galatians. And we have, for the last few weeks, keyed on a certain verse. Don't look at your Bibles. Don't look at your notes.
I am amazed.
You're amazed at what?
That you've fallen away from crying out loud.
Gary, you'll have to look over them, son. Betsy, you'll have to look over them. But you'll be just like them before long. Paul says, I marvel, I'm shocked, I'm bewildered that you are so quickly, so soon removed, taking yourself away from, what's the next word? Starts with an H, next letter's I. From Him. Not from religion. Not from Christianity. Not from Baptists. Not from Presbyterians. Not from Catholics. From Him. Who hath called you into the grace. The grace of who? Of Jesus Christ. Unto what? Another gospel. Now, I gave you the Greek word for another there. I don't expect you to know the Greek word. That's okay. But I do expect you to know the definition that I gave you. And that was what? Gary, I like you. You're one day into the class and you're already helping more than the ones that you're every Sunday. But you're wrong. But that's okay. Hey, that's okay. That's participation. That's how we learn. No, the word is allos. There's two words in the Greek for another. One means that if I said, give me another Bible, hand me yours. Now I have another Bible. But that's not the word. The word is identical. That means every little note, highlight, every little thought that I've written down, every little scribble that I've got in this, you'd have to give that to me. You remember I gave you a place in the Bible where it's used. Does anyone remember that? Remember, He says, it's needful that I go away. For if I go away, the Father will send another. No, that's in John. And the word there means identical. In other words, when Jesus went away, the Father sent the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit and Jesus are One. The Father and the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. That means that there is no distance, no separation, no inequality. Jesus in the body couldn't be everywhere, could he? I mean, if he was in Nazareth, he couldn't be in Galilee. But the Holy Spirit, as Jesus, as God the Father, he can be at your house when you need him. He can be at my house when I need him. He can be at Gary's house when he needs him. He can be at Betsy's house when she needs him. He can be wherever he's needed because he's everywhere. God the Father is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Satan is not. Thank you. That's the best word. He is not. You know, sometimes I think in listening to people, and I don't mean this critically, but I think sometimes in listening to people, they have the idea that Satan's everywhere. Well, no, he ain't everywhere. He can't be everywhere. He's no different than any other created being, folks. The way he's everywhere is through his demons. Now, you may not agree with me, and that's okay. But that young man that walked into that grocery store in Buffalo was demon possessed. I don't care what anybody says. That young man that walked into that school in Texas was demon possessed. You can't tell me any different. Only one that is right out of hell, and I say that because that's where they're going, could do such a heinous, wicked, vile thing. And I know we got this thing, and I don't diminish mental illness in any form. Listen, mental illness is real, but that ain't mental illness. That's wickedness. That's of Satan. That's right out of hell. And unless we recognize that, if we don't teach our children that they need Jesus Christ, I'm telling you right now, if they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them, they are capable. You are capable. I am capable. Anyone's capable of doing such a thing. But until we realize that, we're going to keep going on this way we're going. And if you'll think back, those of you who are old enough, and I will get into no one's age, it began when someone said, we can't pray in school no more. We got to take God out of the school. Well, look at the mess we're in, needing God. Now, that's off the course, and I'm getting back on the course. So he says, I'm shocked that you've done this. And then he begins to go on and make an argument. And last week we talked about what was the main word that we talked about last week. And I gave you a verse in Job. Matter of fact, I read you a whole chapter in Job, chapter 9, thank you. Chapter 9. And Job says this, I know that of a truth. And what he was saying was what Bildad had said, because Bildad said, well, now, God don't judge the perfect, he judges the wicked. Well, the word perfect there is the same word that is translated just. So then Job says this, he says, oh, I know that of a truth. But how then shall a man be right or just with God? I know he's not going to judge the just the same way he does the wicked. But my problem is, how do I make sure I'm just? And then he goes on and gives this litany of things that God is. How great God is. And he says, if I argued with him, I couldn't be right one of a thousand times. And he says, even if I stood before him thinking I'm innocent, I would plead I'm guilty because I know I'm not. So how do I get right with God? Listen, folks, if we don't get people to see that they are not right with God, they're not going to come to him. We've got this thing mellowed down now to where everyone's okay. I'm going to tell you what. As I sat at that red light in Winter Park, Florida in February of 1982, I realized I was not right with God. But today I realize that I am. And I'm going to tell you why as we go through today. And then you remember the psalmist in 143 and 2. Remember I gave you that? What was it he said? He said, "Oh, Lord, judge me. Don't bring me into judgment. For no one living can stand before you." He knew it. He knew that there had to be something change or he couldn't stand before God. You can't just say, "I'm a good person," and stand before God. You're equating your righteousness with God's. You're equating your holiness with God's. That's foolish. That's why he says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Well, you'd have to say that. I mean, if you didn't want to get right with God, you'd have to say, "Well, there is no God." Otherwise, you show your foolishness. Who else talked about not being right with God that I gave you? Jeremiah, a prophet of God, said the same thing. Ezekiel said this. He said, "Though Noah, Daniel, and Job be in the city, they can't make anyone righteous but themselves." What does that tell you? You may love that boy, but you can't save that boy, honey. Les may love his little wife sitting beside him, but he can't save her. He can only go on his own behalf. She can only go on her own behalf. He can only go on his own behalf. It's up to everyone to make sure that you can stand before God, not wrong, but right. That's the dilemma. That's the problem that we have. And if we don't start facing the problem in our teaching and our preaching, and our testimony and our witnessing, we're not going to win anybody, folks. We're not going to get anybody to come to him because everyone's going to think they're okay. You know, it's amazing. And I don't look. I just give it out. I don't judge anyone. I don't look at anyone's lifestyle and judge them over it. I don't judge anybody by how they live. But it's amazing. I see a lot of people. And Les can tell you, what's the first thing I say to them, Les? Well, I thought you'd remember, but I forgot. Your mind went with your hair. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Not are you a Christian. I don't ask people if they're a Christian anymore. We've got this thing so now that Christianity is no different than Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or any other ism. It's not about what religion you're in. It's about can you stand before God right? Because if you don't, you'll stand before him wrong. That's it. There's no middle ground. You'll stand before him right or wrong. And so in Romans, I want you to turn there, chapter 3. Now Romans is the major epistle on salvation. Galatians is what I call a minor epistle. In other words, it doesn't cover it as in depth, but it covers it. But in chapter 3 of Romans, you remember I read you a verse, verse what? What was the verse we sort of ended on last week? Well, I started there, but I sort of emphasized verse 20. Because verse 20 is going to say what Galatians says. Verse 20 is going to say what Job said. Verse 20 is going to say what the psalmist said. Because listen, it doesn't matter what book you're in this Bible, it's going to say the same thing. It's not changed. It didn't, listen, what did Noah find? Grace. Bless God, Noah found grace when God destroyed the antediluvian world. Well, one of these days, God's going to destroy this world. Not by climate change. Not by how man lives here, what he drives, what he don't drive, what she drives, what she don't drive. God's already set this thing. This earth is going to melt with fervent heat. No one's going to stop it. No one's going to change it. That's how it is. The question is this. Are you going to be here when it does? You know, it's sort of like I tell you. Now, brother, I got some bad news for you. Your house is going to burn down today. Now, what's your question? Am I going to be in it? I mean, I've done told you it's going to burn down. you'd sort of be stupid if you went home, got in your recliner, and said, "Well, but I haven't seen this right here. I'm going to watch the rest of this." You know, and the smoke starts boiling and Billy runs in and says, Bill. And you say, "Well, now listen, this is almost over." Yeah. And she'd say, "Well, honey, have you lost your mind? The house is on fire." Now, look, I know we laugh. Folks, the house is on fire. If your children was in a house that was burning, would you just stand outside and say, "Sweetie, come on out. You better come on out. That house is on fire." Or would you be screaming from the top of your lungs? No wonder the Bible says, cry aloud and spare not. We've forgotten the seriousness of this. Hell is forever. Hell is forever. If your children are lost, hell is forever. If your husband or your wife is lost, hell is forever. We got to get more serious. More serious in how we live. More serious in how we talk. It's serious. That doesn't mean we go around with a face dropped down like this. But we go around with a heart that's heavy. That'll cause us to look up and say, "Oh God, help my family. Help me to live godly in front of my family, that they'll see the need of Christ." That's all you can do. You can't save anyone. All you can do is show them the way. So anyway, in Romans he says this. I'll start back up here so that you get the idea of it. In verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not. Thank you. Who does that leave out? Isn't that what Job's problem was? I know of a truth. God won't judge the perfect the way he judges the wicked. But my problem is I can't get perfect. My problem is I'm wicked. If a person doesn't see themselves as wicked, they'll never want to come to God. If they think that they can be righteous on their own merits. So he says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not. I mean, how many times does God have to say something for us to get the attention? Listen, no one's right. Remember I asked you last week, can you be just with God? Remember that was the question. And almost to everyone that would answer, so I'd say the ones that didn't answer said the same thing that the ones that did answer, they just didn't want to answer. And everyone said yes. But the answer was no. You can't be right with God. You have no way to be right with God. There's none, he says. You say, "Well, Tom, then what are we doing here?" Well, we read on and see. The throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in the way. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You can say what you want to about this fat boy standing in front of you. I'm afraid of God. I'm in awe of him, but I'm in fear of him too. You say, well, Tom, that don't sound right. Well, yeah, it does, if you think about it. My dad. Oh, I had the best dad, and I know everyone says that. We're coming to Father's Day, so I know everyone would say that, but I say it because it's true about me. I had the best dad anyone could ever want. He was kind. He was hardworking. He was gentle when he needed to be gentle. But I'm going to tell you right now, I was afraid of him. I remember, I've told you this story, you forgot it, I'll tell it again. My brother Steve could ride a motorcycle. Oh, God, could he ride a motorcycle? Man, he could ride a motorcycle. He had a Triumph. And I'll never will forget on Colorado Street right over there. He had that thing in the front yard, and he came out and straddled that thing and went out of there. And he laid that thing down. He couldn't have been that far off the ground. And the Stanleys over across the street was going, ah! And up that street he went, son, just a-flying. Well, I got the bright idea. It was a bright idea. I was only about 11 or 12. It was a bright idea from a young man. Listen carefully, son. You don't want the bright ideas. I thought, well, I'm going to go in and tell my daddy he wrecked. So in that house I went and I said, Daddy, Daddy, Steve's wrecked. You could see his demeanor change. You could see his countenance drop. And out that front door he went, scared that his son was laying in the road out there. And as he come out the door, he could hear that motorcycle going up that street on Colorado Street. And I started to grin. It was funny. That man, it was so gentle. So kind, that would do anything for me, worked hard to provide for me. He said, you come in this house, I'll give you something to grin about. I've never got such a hard whipping in all my life. Normally I'd start crying early, because when you cried, he'd whip you till you cried, and he'd whip you till you stopped. And I got the bright idea, well, I'm going to start crying now. He didn't care. He whipped me crying. He whipped me stop crying. He just kept whipping me. He was going to make sure that I didn't do that again. You say, well, Tom, that's your daddy. Yeah. But I was afraid of him, because I knew if he had to, he'd lay down on me, because he loved me. I'm afraid of God, because I know that God is holy and cannot look upon iniquity. And he's not going to have iniquity in his boy. And if I want to go around living the way I want to live, he's going to say, come in here, I'll give you something to smile about. You say, Tom, let me tell you something. I've been whipped by God. And I just thought being whipped by my dad was bad. But when God lays down on you at that belt, bless God, you're going to know it. And you know what? It's not so much Bill the pain. It's knowing that you hurt him. Yeah. It's knowing that you dishonored him. It's knowing that you grieved the Holy Spirit. It's knowing that you brought shame on God. And you deserve it. You say, Tom, what's the difference? Oh, that's the difference. That's the difference. When you're right with God, you know right from wrong. Why? Because, well, I knew right from wrong before I had God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just thought you did. Now I'm going to tell you why. He says, what's that next word in verse 21? It's the first verse. Now don't look. You're supposed to know this. Thank you. If a pastor was in here, he would just shout. But the righteousness, now you look, The righteousness of God is what? In other words, you were in this category of the none. But now by His grace, He took you out of it. You were in the category of unrighteous. But by His grace, you now are righteous. There's a verse, it won't take me but a second to get there. I want to read it to you. It's in Corinthians. I don't remember numbers, as you well know. I do remember places, as you well know, and I will get there quickly. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. For what reason? For this specific reason, that we might be made the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. I would challenge anyone to go look up that word made in the Greek. You won't have to, I'm going to tell you. It's what we call a creative term. It is the same term that in Genesis He says, and God said, and it was. You see, here's the difference, Bill, and here's what so many people are missing. And then I'll get to today's lesson quickly because I'm about done anyway. They'll stick their head in there soon. When you are saved, you've not turned over a new leaf. You're not trying to be a better person. You've been created. Just like God created everything in that garden. When He saved you, He created you. And that's why the Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. For we are a new creature. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Outside Christ, bless God, you're still the same old creation you was. Inside Christ, you're a new one. And isn't that the standard? Huh? He says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is. Now, if you're perfect, raise your hand. Well, we got one saved. I'll give an altar call here in a minute. Bless God, everybody in here and get saved. You know, I hear this, and I know what people mean. I heard a song the other day. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Well, I'm on my way. Something like that. To Canaan land. Well, Bill, if you're not perfect, you're not going. Now, you may say, well, just ask her, she'll tell you I'm not perfect. Well, no, she don't see the new you. She sees the flesh. Let me tell you something. If you don't realize that when you got saved, you're new, you ain't realized who you are. He didn't say you'd be righteous. He said, I made you righteous. That's who you are. It's not who you're striving to be. That's not who you want to be. That's why Paul says, listen, I see now two members in me. Bless God, I see the spirit and I see the flesh. And he says, I have to kill the flesh every day. Well, why does he want to kill the flesh? Because, bless God, it's bothering him. Why is it bothering him? Because the new man on the inside says, no, I don't want that. That's the difference. That's the difference. And that's why Paul says, man, I'm shocked. I can't believe you've left him who called you into that grace. We call it amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a... Now, I gave you a verse last week that told you about the wretch. What was it? It says that we are... I gave you the word. Starts with an M. The next letter's A. The next letter's G. Next letter's G. Next letter's O. Thank you. I said, he says, I'm nothing but a maggot. And I said, where do maggots come from? And someone said, Let's see, I forget what Sandy, she's one answered. I do remember that. But I can't remember where she said. I said, no. The maggots are already in you. They don't come out until you're dead and decaying. Why do you think the Bible says you're going to a place where the worm dieth not? Bless God, you ain't going to decay in hell. The maggots ain't going to show their place. The worm ain't going to die. If we don't realize that that's who we are, we're not going to seek Christ for salvation. And if we as saved people don't realize that's who they are out there, we're not going to give them the right message. We're just going to say, oh, wouldn't you like to come to church? We have a wonderful church. I think you'd really like it. Well, bless God, they'd just be in here lost. If we don't tell them about God and about salvation. Listen, don't get me wrong. I wish the place was filled today. I wish I'd stand up on... No, I don't want to be up on the pulpit. That's not my place. I never feel comfortable up on the pulpit. But it's not about going to church. It's not about saying, well, I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. What does that mean? What does that mean? That's not the question. The question is what Job said. Are you right with God? And there's only one way. I've tried to give it to you as best I could so far. There's only one way to be right with God, to answer the dilemma that Job had. And what is that? In Christ. See, it's not religion. It's not Christianity. It's about a person. It's about being in a position. It's about being in a place. Remember, I told you there's only one place of security. There's only one place of safety. There's only one place of salvation. There's only one place of succoring or helping. That's in Christ. If you're outside Him, you're not right with God. You may be the best person that money can buy, but you ain't right with God, because you can't be. It's an impossibility. Remember, they said, well, if it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a man to be saved, then we don't have a chance. And Jesus said what? Well, with man it is impossible. Well, let me tell you something. It's impossible to get to the presence of God apart from His Son, Jesus Christ. Period. And that's not anti-religion. That's not anti-Semitic. That's not anti-Islam. That's not anti-anything. I don't care where you live, who you are, what gender you are. Bless God, that's the way. And we got to keep that. Because let me tell you something. If you don't see it, look around though. They're trying to distance us, folks. They're trying to push us out. And not outside the church, inside the church. Remember we talked about Jude, and how did they come in? They don't come in with a sign. Huh? They don't come in with a sign, I'm an apostate. No, no, no. They creep in. And the next thing you know, they're trying to sow a seed. We've got a little church in trouble today because some people crept in and they sowed a wicked seed. And now the church is in trouble. Listen, if you ever catch me teaching you anything that's not in that book and not anything that's according to that book, bless God, run me out that door as fast as you can. It's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. Listen, I know it's good for young people to have programs. Oh, bless God, I know that's good. But there ain't been the program yet that'll save your child. If we ain't teaching them about Jesus Christ and the fact that they're not right with God till they get right with God, then all the programs in the world ain't going to help them. It's just that simple. So then Paul says, He comes on over and he says, now look, I went up there and I saw him, and Peter was up there. And, you know, before the Jews came up, Peter would, oh, he had just sit down with the Gentiles and eat with them and everything. But then when the Jews came up, he separated himself and wouldn't eat with them. And he said it was so bad it caused Barnabas to separate from him. And there was he said, no, I wasn't going to put up that. Now, I'm talking about my words now. He said, I wasn't going to put up that. So I just told him to his face, you're wrong. You're wrong. I mean, how can you say to the Gentiles to live like Christ when the Jews are not around? But when the Jews come around, you tell them they got, well, but now you got to live like the Jews too. You got to be circumcised and you got to keep the law. He says, no, that's wrong. He says, I'll read it to you because it tells you what I'm telling you. In Galatians, he says this, knowing, having full knowledge, knowing that a man is not justified. A man is not made right. A man is not made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. What's that saying? Here's what it's saying, Bill. You can't do it on your own efforts. You don't have the ability. That's the word power. It's not by your ability. The word might means effort. You can't put out enough effort. You don't have the ability to save yourself. It's by the Spirit. That's why when you get saved, the Spirit comes in. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. Romans 8 says this, for His Spirit, capital S, beareth witness with my spirit, small s, that we belong to Him. We sing that song, Bill, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Let me tell you something. That's not a hoping assurance. That's an assurance based on not your efforts, not your abilities, but the finished work of Christ, who when it was done said, it is finished. And here the Judaizers had come down from Jerusalem and they were saying, well, Christ is good, but you must be circumcised and you must keep the law. That'll send you to hell. If you tell God His Son wasn't enough, the one who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that we ask or think. Paul says, I am persuaded, I have no doubts that He is keep that which I have. Now listen, either that's true. That's my sister, Gary, by the way. She's brilliant. Oh no, she's a walking Bible. If I can't think of a verse, I just look at her and she just gives it to me. She's better than Google. Oh yeah, she's better than Google. She's better than Google. I just type in Doris and here it comes. Don't believe that, Beth, yes. No. It's a little exaggeration, maybe. Anybody know where I was? I lost my place. He's able to what, honey? See how she is? Now she's already forgot. That's why she's my assistant. For He is able to what? Keep that which I have committed unto Him. Against that, Well, listen, what that's saying is, Lord, I can't be right with you. I'm just going to give myself over to you, and then I'll be right with him, because you're right with him, and I'm in you. And when he sees you, he can't see me. When he sees me, he can't see me. He sees you. And if he sees you, he sees sinlessness. He sees blamelessness. He sees holiness. He sees righteousness. He sees everything that he's supposed to see in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen, if we don't understand that Christ and Christ alone is what saves us, then we won't come in here and give him the glory he's due. We won't come in here and praise him like we should, because we're going to think, well, did you see what kind of a good life I lived this week? Well, I was in church 3 times. Well, I prayed every day. I read my Bible every day. Well, good for you. You can be lost and do that, and bless God, you'll still be lost. You say, Tom, how do you know that? That's how I know that. I told you. I sang in a quartet with my mom, my 2 brothers. Well, we'd bring the house down singing. And that afternoon, I'd be on the golf course gambling, cussing, drinking. So don't tell me I don't know. I know the difference. I'm aware of the difference. I know, bless God, when it's me trying to do it, it wasn't worth 5 cents. You know, I wonder, and I don't mean to be judgmental now. I don't. But I wonder about people who are unfaithful. Because the one thing that causes me to be faithful in the things of God, the Word of God, the prayer to God, the testimony of God, the witness for God, the things that causes me to be faithful in that is not me. There's one inside me that when I'm not doing that, he's saying, now, Tom, you're letting down a little bit, son. Let's pick it up. I wonder. I don't have a different spirit than you have. I don't. If you're saved, you've got the same spirit as me. So I know he's in there telling you the same thing he's telling me. I mean, there's times on Sunday afternoon I thought, well, I'm pretty comfortable right here. It won't hurt to miss Sunday one night. I mean, church one night. You know what gets there before that thought gets out of my mind? I'm going to read it to you. And then I'll quit. No, I won't. I got a few more minutes. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now, they weren't foolish because of the word that they were denying God. They were foolish because they were uneducated. They were new babes in Christ to some extent. But now you remember I started this whole thing on Galatians with a verse in John. Does anybody remember that verse? You know, it helps if you remember this stuff because it helps you to sort of understand. It's sort of like if you can remember that 2 + 2 = 4, when you go to the grocery store, you won't pay them 5. You have to try to remember. In John it says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice, and a hireling they will not follow. Now that's pretty explicit right there. That's pretty emphatic right there. That's God saying that. That was Jesus' word. If you look in your Bible, it's red letter. That's red letter, bless God. So the thing about the Galatians is this. If they are his sheep, and for some reason these false teachers and this false teaching had come in and was trying to draw them away, and Paul is telling them, no, no, no. Who are they going to listen to? Well, where's Paul getting his message? Christ. So if his sheep hear his voice and they know his voice, they're going to hear his voice. But if they're not his sheep, they're just going to keep listening to the false teaching. You see that? Do you understand that? He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's deceived you? Who's tricked you? That you should not obey the truth. Who had given them the truth? Paul. And he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Here's what that means in a paraphrased version. I painted this big billboard of Christ crucified for you. How can you look at that and believe them? Now look, I realize that Jesus is no longer on the cross. I get that. I praise God he's not. He's not in the tomb either. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for this old boy here that needs it more than you do probably. But there was a little blind songwriter. Anybody remember her name? Huh? Fanny Crosby. A blind woman who talked about constantly keeping the cross before her eyes. My favorite song in the book, isn't it, honey? It's page 410. Somebody get a book and turn to 410. Honey, I know what it is. I'm getting someone. God, love, it's hard, I tell you. She takes that medication and she gets so far ahead of me. What does it say? Somebody read the first verse there. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. Well, is anybody reading it? So what is he saying? Thing is, Lord, don't ever let me lose sight of what you did for me. Let me tell you something. If you're right with God today, it's because the sinless Son of God put his hands out just like that and let him nail them. And the Father put your sins on him and he paid your price so that you could be right with God. And if you get astray a little bit, bless God, it's because you took your eyes off that. You forgot what it cost to get you saved. I know salvation's free. Praise God, I didn't have enough money to get it. But all it cost me was to believe him. That's all. Just believe him. That he paid my sin debt. I couldn't pay it. It was impossible. Just like Job said, how then? I can't be right with him. But I am right with him. And I don't brag on me. I'm going to brag on him that made me right. That we might be made the righteousness of God. That we're right, brother. Listen, would you say his son's right with God? Would you say God looks favorably on his son? Well, if you're in him, how's he looking on you? Go ahead and say favorably. Favorably. Well, what's another word for favorable? Starts with a G. The next letters are grace. Oh, it's by his amazing, marvelous grace. For by grace, through faith. What does that mean, through faith? What does that mean? Whose faith is it? Don't ever say it's your faith. It ain't yours. For by grace, through faith, are you saved? That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. The grace is a gift to him. The faith, your ability to believe his word. The Bible says his promises are always yea. They're never nay. Bless God, he promised you, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whomever shall come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's his promise. And that's what you're trusting in. Not your ability to believe it, his ability to keep you. That's why Paul says, come on in. See you next week.